This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
I've been preparing for this all my life.
Here's Porter on Harden, taking him to school.
What a great play by Jayshon Tate.
KJ Martin climbed Boban Mountain.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
And you've seen tonight that we fought together, we stayed together, and it's about damn time, man.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, the best and only daily podcast covering your Houston Rockets. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and partner at Apollo Media. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as at Apollo HOU. Today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for our Michelob Ultra Player of the Week coming up later in the episode. Now, if you enjoy what we do here at Locked On Rockets, be sure to hit the subscribe button on YouTube, the brand new YouTube channel, Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen to your podcast. We would sincerely appreciate it. Now, joining us for today's episode is local Houston sports head, sports fanalist, Houston Rockets fanalist, Karthik Prasad. How's it going, KP?
Hey, Jackson. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm excited to have you here. How does it feel being on camera for one of these?
Good, good. Yeah, you made me wear the headphones, so you know I'm excited about that.
Well, the headphones look great on you. I don't know what you were self-conscious about. But we've got a loaded episode, so much news to kind of discuss and, you know, share some thoughts on today. We're going to kind of set the table really quick here. First off, we have the news coming out just this Monday afternoon that Tad Brown, former Rockets CEO and president, is going to be moving, CEO slash president, his title was kind of weird for the Rockets, is going to become the new CEO for the Philadelphia 76ers, of all places. So that's, you know, fun for all sorts of Daryl Morey-esque related reasons. So we're going to share some thoughts on that. We're also going to talk about the recent rumors coming out of Indiana, as the Indy Star reported that the Rockets and Indiana Pacers have had some discussions centered around that number 13 overall pick. Rick Carlisle, the new head honcho over there, looking for some guys that are going to be more so like immediate contributors rather than, you know, whoever they might pick up at number 13. So we'll talk about potentially trading up in the NBA draft. And then lastly, we have a really cool set of Rockets Twitter polls, courtesy of one Karthik Prasad here, that we're going to sift through surrounding each of the top four prospects in the NBA draft: Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green, Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs, and just kind of where Rockets Twitter ranks these guys in certain areas of their game. And that's going to be a really fun segment to kind of go over and also get KP's thoughts on where he stands with the Rockets number two overall selection and what direction they should go with that pick. Is he still on Suggs Island? Stay tuned to find out. But first things first, KP, we got this news that Tad Brown is joining the 76ers front office as the CEO. And my immediate reaction to this was just, this is a terrible look. And I feel like certain people kind of misconstrued this. I don't think it's a terrible look so much so for like the Rockets and like for Tita and the organization. I think it's a bad look because you had Daryl Morey, who walked out, said that he was going to quote unquote spend time with family, leaves to go to the 76ers after what, like a, not even a month of no, you know, just chilled for a month, and then becomes president of basketball operations for the 76ers. And now you've got Tad Brown, who is leaving and not quite doing the same thing, because Tad made it very evidently clear that he was going to pursue other ventures upon, you know, leaving the Houston Rockets. But for him to leave and go team up with Daryl Morey after what Morey did, it's not a great look.
Yeah. And, you know, well, first things first, I think we should be happy for Tad. I mean, he found a place where he's excited about. He can think across sports. I think that's probably important for him, you know, being able to do basketball and hockey. But that all being said, I think the optics are pretty, let's just say, interesting. I mean, the mention of having a strong working relationship, and I think Woj tweeted that, with Daryl Morey. I mean, those guys were here, right? So it makes you think, well, why couldn't they be here? And what was preventing them from achieving what they're doing now in Houston? So it just gets you thinking. And so I think that's the big optics part of it or the questions that start to get raised. The other thing, I mean, I do think, you know, credit to Tad, I think folks brought this up later in the day that, you know, I think he probably knew that, you know, early in this past season that he wanted to move on. But he stayed through. I mean, we had a clear transition plan. He was able to just make sure the organization was in a good place. So I think he did things right, but it's still just, you know, what makes it just something doesn't add up, I think is the real question for me as to why of all things both people could have possibly done after leaving Houston, they end up in the same place. But, you know, good for them. I think relationships do matter. It's actually a pretty small industry in terms of people. And then the last thing that I would say is just that, you know, as it relates to Tillman, I mean, and the Fertitta family, I mean, it's clear that there's a new direction. Right? I mean, I know the reports there were, you know, when he bought the team, it was kind of a 5-year, you know, everyone kind of had the 5-year extension, no matter if they left or not. It seems like he operated in good faith there. And I think these, you know, Daryl and Tad, I think for the most part operated in good faith, you know, in terms of how long they stayed and saw things through. I think with any of these things, it just reached a natural endpoint and it just kind of sucks, honestly. But, you know, it is what it is at this point. I don't know. How are you processing it?
Well, I want to revisit one of those points you brought up because that's a great point. I wanted to make sure we hit on this is it was reported by Jonathan Fagan that, you know, apparently in the acquisition of the Houston Rockets, Leslie Alexander was adamant, you know, that there was basically a clause built into the sale of the team that his top two executives, Daryl Morey, Tad Brown, would both receive 5-year extensions upon sale of the team. And so Daryl Morey made it through 3 years of that 5-year extension, Tad Brown making it through 4 of those 5 years. But the clause basically stating that they would be paid in full for those 5 years, regardless of if they stayed with the team or not. So to me, I just think that there's, you know, I think they did operate, you know, largely in good faith. You know, to see out the duration of those contracts. And like you said about Tad, you know, to echo a sentiment that I had when he first decided that he was going to be stepping down at the end of this season, you know, he could have very easily jumped ship with everybody else, you know, as, you know, when MDA and Morey both left, he could have jumped ship with those guys and probably, you know, maybe saved himself a little bit of hassle by doing so, because this last season was pretty brutal, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. But you know, he stuck around. He kind of oversaw the transitional period. So you do have to give him credit for that. And, you know, I don't think necessarily that there's any, I don't want to say that there's any necessarily like foul play here. It just didn't look great on the surface, which was exactly how I reacted to that news. I saw the news and I thought, okay, my immediate reaction is, yeah, this doesn't look great. Yeah. everybody had a head scratching moment. Just like, what's going on here? But what I do come back to is, I come back to thinking about like how this all kind of like has culminated. And I think the clear case was just, you know, the championship window was closed as soon as James Harden, you know, said that he wanted out. So Daryl Morey and MDA, they both hit the road. They're like, yeah, it's done. Harden wants out. It's game over. We can't fix this. And then Tad could have easily said, you know, I'm done too, and gone and pursued other things, but he stuck around. And so I think that's kind of one of the main takeaways here.
Yeah, I mean, don't also forget that I think at one point Mike D'Antoni was a front runner for the 76ers job too, so which would have been even more hilarious. But I mean, I think you're right. This whole thing reached an endpoint, and you know, folks have been walking out the door at their own timelines. At the same time, the Rockets have been restocking their front office on, you know, piece by piece as well. So it's just I think the biggest thing is it just felt abrupt. But it, you know, conditional on people leaving, it does make sense that people actually want to go work with people they know. I think that is something that in, you know, this type of profession, you want to find people that you trust and work with. So anyway, I think it's bizarre, but good for all parties involved. And it's time to move on.
And the Rockets, you're right. The Rockets are, I personally think the Rockets are in good hands moving forward. They have done their due diligence and promoted from within. And it kind of looks like, you know, it was the end of an era kind of with, you know, Morey and Tad Brown both kind of stepping down in quick succession, but they had great people in place to take over for them. So, you know, I think Saman Ali kind of highlighted that in the last year, the Rockets have lost Daryl Morey, Monty McNair, Tad Brown, and Mike D'Antoni have all left. But replacing those four individuals, you have Rafael Stone, Eli Wittes, Gretchen Scheer, and Steven Silas. So it's not like the Rockets are in bad hands. It's kind of a nice, it's a changing of the guard. And I think that we can view this as a positive thing and not necessarily a negative thing, even if it was a little shocking right on the outset. But coming up, I want to talk about the Indiana rumors with you and kind of what we both think about what a package might look like there to move up in the draft, be it with Indiana or potentially another team. But first, we got to bring up our Michelob Ultra Player of the Week, which, because we're going to throw him around in some trade rumors here in a second, KP, I want to roll with Eric Gordon as our Player of the Week, because when we talk about a guy who has brought a lot of like joy and happiness to Rockets fans over the years, Eric Gordon's a name right there at the top of the list, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of fun, if you will. I think Eric's has been to use Clyde Drexlerism, I mean, a consummate pro. He's stuck with the team. I think he was a key part of our most successful season in the last 20 years. And I think for him, you know, I do hope that he finds his way to a contender and that's, we're able to do that for him, just like we did for every other Rocket as part of the 2017-18 team. Eric Gordon, I mean, you talk about, he is ready to contribute. And I think that'll be a big part of why we include his name in trade rumors. It's less about his fit on this team, but rather a chance for him to go kind of play in high stakes basketball again.
And so we're going to throw out these trade proposals and everything here in just a second, but I wanted to give Eric the nod for Player of the Week here. One, because he didn't get the chance to be the Player of the Week at all during the season because of the groin injury and all this stuff. And Michelob wasn't a sponsor yet then, but look, at the end of the day, you know, enjoyment isn't the end game. It's the whole game, right? If you're not enjoying yourself, which, let's face it, Eric Gordon, the animated reactions to calls, everything that he does out there, it's enjoyable for Rockets fans. And, you know, even though there might be, his chapter as a Houston Rocket might be coming to an end here soon. I would just want to, kind of remember him for what he was, which was an incredible player, spark off the bench, you know, big part of these Rockets teams that we've held near and dear to our hearts. And obviously all the memes, which transcend whatever team he is on. So if Eric Gordon does get dealt, we will still have, you know, the ability to use those Eric Gordon memes. And that is why he is your Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. Don't let the daily stress of life weigh on your body. Whether you're an elite athlete or someone like me just trying to make it through the day tension-free, Theragun can help. Theragun is the handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tension using a scientifically calibrated combo of depth, speed, and power, and it's as quiet as an electric toothbrush. The Gen 4 Theragun doesn't just feel good. It gets to the source of the pain by releasing tension using Theragun's signature percussive therapy, which goes 60% deeper than vibration alone. So try Theragun for 30 days starting at only $199. Go to Theragun.com/LockedOn right now and get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's Theragun.com/LockedOn. Theragun.com/LockedOn. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Continue our conversation with Karthik Prasad. Now, KP, we had the rumor come out of the Indy Star that the Pacers are looking to potentially deal that 13th overall pick, and that there had been some conversations taking place with the Houston Rockets. And naturally, as with any conversation revolving, you know, a potential trade between the Houston Rockets and the Indiana Pacers, Indiana legend Eric Gordon's name was naturally brought up in speculation. But I want to play devil's advocate here for a second and just say, what if it wasn't necessarily Eric Gordon, you know, that would, because everybody started drawing the lines and dots. They were like, okay, it's got to be EG, right? Mm-hmm. What if it was like Jae'Sean Tate or Christian Wood? I mean, if I'm the Rockets, I'm probably still listening to the phone call, but I'm not really entertaining moving either of those guys just for the 13th overall pick.
Yeah. I mean, I think that we'd take them each case by case. I mean, I think Christian Wood's value is probably higher than just the 13th pick. Now, it depends, because a lot of what we initially talked about in the discussions were, is this about moving up in the draft? So as in, we would be giving the 23rd or the 24th pick to move up, in which case I don't think then including either of those guys, I feel like we'd be on the losing end of that deal. But if it's just obtaining the 13th pick, now that becomes interesting, because I think, you know, both guys, Jae'Sean Tate and Christian Wood, I think we all hold very high And so to be able to get a lottery pick and to think about what the timing of those guys, both guys being 25 or older, it starts to make some sense, but I would be shocked if they did that. The one guy I could see of those two would be Tate, just because I think his contract is such that they're going to probably have to pay him eventually after these kind of team-friendly years. And so that could be, well, do you want to do that? Is his kind of peak as a super role player line up with the young team? Or do you want to kind of recoup value now? I still don't think they should do that. And I think really if they're entertaining that, they're trying to see if they can package 23 and 24 to move up. And maybe Eric Gordon's involved in that, maybe not. But I think that's got to be the intention, because otherwise I don't see them why they would give up one of their kind of most prized assets this early in the offseason or this early in kind of the rebuild.
You go ahead. Finish up your thought. I apologize.
No. So I think you know, and it's a similar discussion we were having with the Warriors having the 14th pick, right? That getting into the lottery would mean that there's probably two or three guys that you're really targeting that you feel so compelled about that you're willing to move one or both of your first round picks later in the draft. And I just don't know that they would be in addition willing to give up another young player, but we'll see. You know, all those discussions. The one thing that, you know, was brought up in the Twitter discussions was, what's the value of Eric Gordon, which I think we can get into. I think his value is higher on a team that's trying to make the playoffs because he's a known commodity. His salary now is actually not that outrageous. It's probably in line with a player of his caliber, and you know exactly what you're going to get, especially come playoff time. So to me, it's no longer a negative value, especially for a team like Indiana.
You know, it's so funny. You say that about Eric Gordon's contract, and it makes me think of it's maybe a stretch, but that's also kind of how I feel about John Wall's contract. Like, depending on what team we might, potentially discuss. And there was a little bit of news, and John Wall liking a tweet that said, you know, a trade of him going to the Clippers. How serious do we take that? You know, maybe a pod for another day, but because I want to keep the focus on Eric Gordon. But I'm inclined to agree with you. I do think that Eric Gordon is a known commodity. He, you know, provides some proven veteran leadership, a great two-way player. You know exactly what you're getting with him. And I do think for a team like the Pacers, who are desperately looking to rebound from, right, they move on from Nate McMillan. He has all this success, you know, with the Atlanta Hawks taking over for Lloyd Pierce, make it to the, Eastern Conference Finals. And then you're bringing in Rick Carlisle to try and right the ship, right? So third coach in 3 years. They want to be successful. And if that means potentially bringing in a more known commodity like an Eric Gordon to potentially help facilitate that, instead of bringing in another young player who you have to develop and kind of get up to speed as far as the NBA game is concerned at the 13th overall pick, then that might be a better option for them. But who do you, KP, have on your board? Because my thing is, I've been more so in the boat of I'd rather have multiple cracks at the first round with the 23rd mm-hmm. and 24th overall picks rather than trading up. There hasn't been a singular guy where I'm just like, okay, I definitely would want to trade up for, other than I will say Moody and Book Knight, absolutely. But I'm like, they're not going to be in a trade upable range. That's not English, but whatever. I mean, the Rockets aren't going to be able to trade up to get either of those two guys. And the rest of those guys, I feel like they're all kind of in the same tier of player in this draft as far as like potential ceiling and whatnot. But I want to know, is there a guy that you've kind of got your eyes on?
Yeah. I mean, someone like Josh Giddey, I think is a guy that
I don't want Giddey on the Rockets.
You don't want him on the Rockets.
I'm 86ing your Josh Giddey take already. This is worse than your Jalen Suggs take.
Oh man. Well, we could talk about that. I think it'd have to be for some guy whose ceiling is higher than the guys that they're going to get later in the draft. I'm inclined with you. I've been on the record saying that this is a four guy draft and that you can make legitimate arguments for guys 5 through 20. And as to be in that next year. And I think the Rockets will have a chance to get one of those guys or both two of those guys at 23 and 24. I mean, I do like Josh Giddey. I know you don't. I also think the Rockets probably look pretty favorably on guys like Corey Kispert or even Trey Murphy, who I think will go higher than we all think he will.
If Trey Murphy goes before 23-24, I'm going to be inconsolable because he is my new like lock that I want at 23-24. My most recent mock was Jalen Green, Trey Murphy, and JT Thor. And like, I want those three guys. Like, those are the guys that I have my eyes set on. Trey Mann has dropped a little bit for me, although I'm still really excited about the possibility of him in a Rockets jersey, but I really want Trey Murphy.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great fit. So let's say you had kind of those two or three guys that you were eyeing and you felt like they were going to be out of your reach and you were compelled to move up. I think that's the type of scenario we're talking about. I think I just don't know that we'd give up another, you know, young piece to do it. But if they could swing a deal that's 23 and 24 for 13 and maybe that's what it takes. And Indiana's then looking to move late first round picks for veterans later, which they can do. So that type of deal would be on the table. But I'm inclined with you that multiple shots on goal here in this type of draft is helpful, especially because they can get young prospects that fill different positions. And to me, that means more playing time, and that means increasing their value. So by concentrating that in one player, you have to really believe that, you know, really have conviction about him and get him on the floor and kind of say, we think this guy is a real piece and we gave up two first round picks for him type of thing. So,
yeah, if my gut right now is telling me that the Rockets actually keep all three of their first round picks. And I know that's probably like, I feel like I'm probably in the minority there, but I really think they're going to walk away making all three selections. Where are you at right now?
I agree. Unless there's some deal, I wouldn't move Eric Gordon yet, but if there's some deal that in which they have to give one up for Wall to move Wall, I think that's the scenario for me. But otherwise, I think they make the picks because to me, if you think about who they're trying to give those picks to or potentially trade them to, I would actually believe that the value of those players will actually go up. Some of those, like a contending team is going to get a first round pick to then move it for another player. Like they don't actually value that inherent pick. And so to me, I think they'll more than likely make the picks. And if they get a very favorable deal in which they can optimize their long-term flexibility, then sure, they'll give up one. But to give up two in a move up scenario would be pretty surprising unless it's a guy that falls that they just absolutely love.
Yeah, I think the framework on a couple of these deals that people had kind of constructed was like 23 and like EG for the prodigal son, Jeremy Lamb, returning to the Rockets, and then some form of like one more salary filler coming back from Indiana. And like, that's a deal that I would absolutely swing in a heartbeat. I just don't know if it makes enough sense for Indiana. I don't know if Eric Gordon's that proven of a commodity.
Yeah, we don't have to be in a rush to give up a pick just to move Eric Gordon. Like that doesn't make sense to me, right? So, I mean, I think Eric Gordon's value only increases over the next calendar year, assuming he's relatively healthy, because at the deadline, he's a piece for a contender to make a run, and next summer, he kind of basically is an expiring contract. So why not just kind of play the market for him and have a lot of fun along the way?
Has so much fun along the way with EG. God, I miss EG just for the fun meter memes. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about the top four in this NBA draft, as well as get through the Rockets Twitter poll results. But first, a quick message from our friends over at rockauto.com. Because look, with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's basically impossible to stock all the parts that you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why would you want to spend up to 30, 50, or even 100% more for the exact same parts? Rockauto.com's catalog is really easy to navigate. You can go to their website right now, check it out. It's super easy to find, you know, the brand specifications, everything that you need for your car. They've got motor oil, brand new carpet, brake lights, whatever you need, they've got it at rockauto.com. This is a really important part. When you do check them out in their little how'd you hear about us box, right, Locked On sent you, so that they know that we were the ones that sent you over there. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Today on our road to the finals, our NBA playoffs coverage is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. We can all enjoy the games a little bit more this season. So as we're rounding third, heading into our final segment, KP, you constructed this really awesome Rockets Twitter poll that I loved, and it was way more than the traditional like Twitter poll. It was really in depth. I want to know, what did you use to make this thing first?
a simple Google form. And then I just, I've got some PowerPoint skills in my day job. So we just quickly put that on the on a graphic here for us to all talk about.
Well, I love it. So if you're watching on YouTube, we've got the graphic pulled up. If you're not, we're still going to be very thorough and going through exactly what's on here. So it looks like the categories that we've kind of laid out here, three, you know, bigger categories and then the kind of subcategories below them. So we've got right off the top, let's just go through each one. We've got scoring, passing, individual defense, and team defense under their kind of current metrics. Then you've got your upside metrics with offense and defense, and then you've got their fit as far as intangibles and roster flexibility are concerned. And I love this because it's kind of covering all the bases, and it's not super in-depth, but it's a nice just feel for how each of these, you know, top prospects are being gauged by the rest of Rockets Twitter. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Does this mean I see the N equals 272 at the top? Does that mean 272 people filled out the form?
That's right. Yeah. You got 272 people to fill out the form. And as you were saying, I mean, it's kind of a big category around each prospect's current ability. So what do people think that player is now? And then upside, you know, how good can that player be on offense and defense? And then from a fit standpoint, it's less about, you know, the current fit with the current roster, but rather the intangibles they bring to the table, the things you can do with the team roster wise once they're on board. Were things that I found more interesting from a fit perspective. But yeah, we'll go through it. And I focused on the top four just because I think we spend so much time with the Green Mobley debate. And I've obviously been on Suggs Island a little bit, but I think it's important just to kind of take a full look at the four guys that I think will go at the top of the draft.
I absolutely agree, because there's definitely still been, you know, some rumors swirling about Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer stating just, you know, this Monday afternoon, I believe July 12th, as we're recording this podcast, that the Rockets are definitely interested in moving up, you know, to acquire Cade Cunningham for the right price. So Cade very well could be a Houston Rocket. We don't know yet. That's still much, you know, very much up in the air. A lot of Rockets Twitter is, you know, dead set on Jalen Green, and we might have one or two squeaky wheels that want Jalen Suggs. And then we still got a few people left on Mobley Isle, but Cade Cunningham is still a very real possibility. Now, I do want to ask before we go through these, you know, these slides and get through the specifics, were you surprised by the results on any one of these top four?
No, I mean, let me say it this way. I was not surprised by the end result because I think they line up with how I had viewed each of the prospects. I do think, though, you know, Jalen Green, when we get to him, I think people are actually pretty iffy on certain parts of his game, but, you know, so high on the parts of, you know, on the spiky parts of his game that is clearly outweighing a lot of their perception. So it's going to be pretty interesting to talk through him, just because I actually probably think at this point he's underrated on some of those dimensions. So we can get into Jalen Green. I think, you know, Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, even my guy Jalen Suggs. I mean, they kind of what you see, I think it makes a ton of sense. So we'll get into that.
All right, so let's roll with Cade first here because we've got him pulled up. So under his scoring and passing, they both kind of rank a little over the high number. So I should say, let me preface really quickly that we have the kind of scoring metrics listed as low, medium, high, or very high. So I'm going to do my best to kind of pinpoint where these little bullet points land. But we've got Cade, you know, just over the high point on scoring, somewhere in between high and very high on passing. Right in the middle between medium and high on individual defense as well as team defense. You move on to his upside, where his offensive metric falls between high and very high. Then under defense, you've got him right at high. Intangibles in between high and very high, and then roster flexibility high and very high. So basically, you come away thinking, okay, this kind of fits the eye test. Cade Cunningham is the best, most well-rounded prospect of the four.
Yeah, and I think even on the defense side is where people had him above average, basically. Like that to me is the relative, not question mark, but just people are like, I think he's pretty good at defense, both individually and team. But, you know, scoring, passing, upside, yes, intangibles, flexibility. I mean, it all kind of makes sense when you think about it. He's a 6'10", is it a 6'8" guy who can handle the ball, defend, shoot, score, do whatever you need to do. And the biggest thing to me was that people saying being very high on his passing. And I think it speaks to the fact that he can be, you know, and I talk a lot about this, he can also be an engine in addition to being kind of a main scorer, alpha scorer on a team. Cause that's really what makes kind of the most special players in the NBA is the ability to do everything offensively. And I think you see that with Cade Cunningham in addition to kind of the upside and the fit.
Speaking of alpha scorer, let's get to our guy, Jalen Green. Also, I like the color coordination here. It was very clean.
He had to be green. He has to be green, you know. Jalen, he's, you know, people are very high on his scoring and his off. He had the highest offensive upside, which I think makes sense. People had a medium, even medium to low on whether it was passing, individual defense, or team defense. Now, I took this as it's really hard to get a gauge on those skills in the G League. I think they kind of either A, ran sets for him specifically to score. So he really wasn't asked to pass a lot. But then B, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it was like you kind of saw games where he really locked in as an individual defender. So that surprised me. People were on that. And then team defense, I just don't know how to evaluate that in the context of the G League. And so I'm not sure other people did as well, but that was a clear below average question marks part of his game that people had. But I think they're pretty high on his offensive upside, the fact that he'll probably be a plus defender over time. And people loved his intangibles and the fact that he can fit right into the roster and still not kind of change any of our future plans. But you know, there's real questions. I think that his frame and his current size, I think, are probably driving the defense piece. And then he's just such a good scorer and offensive machine that you just don't necessarily think about his passing. But I think there's a section of Rockets Twitter that would say that he's probably higher than we think on all of those dimensions.
You know, and as a newly conformed member of the Jalen Green gang, I think this is a fairly accurate portrayal. And I think it actually harkens back to, I recently had Stefan Martinez on Jalen, or not Jalen, I apologize, Jayshon Tate's basketball skills development trainer. And he said something along the lines of, it's so important to not have a wide bag, but to have a deep bag. And mm-hmm. he was illustrating that it's really important to have like one or two skills that you are absolutely elite at versus, you know, multiple skills that you're like pretty good at. And I think this is very clear cut in that Jalen Green, at least Rockets Twitter, evaluates him as an absolutely elite scorer. And, you know, while the rest of his game might need work, has potential to be in that like upper echelon, like 1% as far as just certified buckets go in the NBA. And that's what, you know, is really the big draw about Jalen Green and his intangibles, the leadership, the drive factor is there as well.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the more research you do on him, and I think the more research Rockets Twitter has done on him, is that it's the level of refinement for him as a scorer, the fact that he spent the last year, you know, kind of working with, competing against former pros, and being able to score and actually have an impact on that end of the floor in a clear way. And so to me, he's just very ready as an offensive player. And I think that has real value because to your point, if you have a skill that you have a lot of confidence in, you can get on the floor. And then once you get on the floor, then you can really refine all the other aspects of your game while kind of at least bringing a clear impact to your team. It's predictable for what you can do. And so it's just a great way to develop. And so to me, that's a really important part of the case for Jalen Green and Green Gang, which I haven't fully joined. I definitely see the case for and would be happy if we drafted him, but I'm not a full card carrying member of Green Gang yet.
All right. So temporary potential perspective member, we'll say that. Let's get to Evan Mobley now, who ranks, you know, very, very high in all the categories you would expect of him. So individual defense and team defense, you know, just falling just below the very high rank, just upside defensively, very, very high. Offensively rated as high on his upside, and then just his current scoring, passing metrics, both kind of falling somewhere between the medium to high range. And then the one where there's been a lot of questions about his intangibles, his leadership, his drive, his motor, that kind of stuff. So his intangibles kind of fell in between the medium to high range. And then roster flexibility, this was the one that actually kind of surprised me, just because I don't think flexibility with Evan Mobley, because he can kind of play, he plays the four or the five. So I don't think roster flexibility when I think with him, but it listed just above the high point on here. But this kind of follows, again, it kind of fits the narrative of what a lot of Rockets Twitter has been placing upon Evan Mobley, at least to me.
Yeah. And the real question, you know, there's a camp of folks that think he's going to be a great offensive player because he has the toolkit to do so. But then there's, I think, an equal camp of folks that are saying, yeah, just because he can, he doesn't have that natural deep bag as a scorer, as you might say. And so at least from a scoring standpoint, I think there's a real question mark in terms of Evan Mobley. I do think him as a passer, you know, you kind of saw it when he handled the ball more, both in high school and college. but, you know, I think so there's there are folks who are like really latched onto that part of his game. That's like, wow, like he can actually facilitate. You can run things out of the post with him. And there's others that are like, okay, yep, he can pass, which is cool. But how do I see that as a real, you know, very high part of his, of who he is as a prospect? So I think that those are two dimensions where it's really, you know, it will take, from a Rockets perspective, intentional development. Like you actually need to feature him in those roles to develop him, because otherwise he's going to be so easy to plug and play as a defender and a rim threat. So and then the intangibles piece, you know, there isn't a compelling 10-minute, you know, solo video, you know, childhood video of Evan Mobley growing up, right? I mean, there isn't the same kind of media narrative around his intangibles, but everything you read, you do find that he's extremely intelligent. He's quiet. He's newer to the game, but that doesn't mean he lacks the passion for it. It kind of gives me Kawhi Leonard vibes. And so I think people are just like, well, what do I make of that? Do I make of the fact that he can actually be a vocal leader, or do I make of that he's just gonna power through, you know, kind of that silent assassin type? So we'll see. But he was also pretty well rounded. Just one thing that was quote below the average response. Everything else pretty much high or very high.
Yeah, I love that you bring up the Kawhi Leonard point, because that was actually something that I brought up, you know, pretty early on when we started these Evan Mobley discussions, and there became kind of that growing trend of people highlighting, oh, well, he's not very vocal. He doesn't, you know, is he a good leader, whatever. I was like, you know, who's not vocal and who might not be a good leader, you know, at least maybe a quiet leader, is Kawhi Leonard. And the guy's a 2-time, you know, finals MVP and 2-time champion. So like, if that's what's wrong with Evan Mobley, give me 10 Evan Mobleys. But we've also seen that, you know, having those emotional leaders on the team is very important. And let's bring us to the guy who is definitely going to be a floor general, emotional leader, your guy, Jalen Suggs. So
yeah, I mean, you got a straight line down the middle.
I do want to say, I asked you if any of these were surprising to you. Jalen Suggs' results were surprising to me. Rockets Twitter is incredibly high on Jalen Suggs.
It's funny. They kind of all see the fact that he's extremely well rounded, but I think you only see one thing in terms of his intangibles that they found quote very high or elite. And so I think that's a pretty good description. Like, he's a pretty darn good player at every aspect of the game, especially passing, defense. We think he could be good, pretty good offensively. He's great as an intangible leader, because we saw him do some crazy clutch things, and we're not sure on the scoring, because he kind of really didn't. It wasn't really asked to shoot or score that much, and so it's a pretty for all the how quickly Rockets Twitter moved on from Jalen Suggs and just left me hanging there. I think, like, you know, he's a pretty darn good player, and I feel like my latest comp for him is some blend of Drew Holiday, Kyle Lowry, and Jason Kidd. If you like blended them all in the lab and took a third from each, and you came out with the modern day player, it'd be somewhat like Jalen Suggs, which is like, why wouldn't you want that guy on your team? But, you know, the context of having some really freaky athletes and a more versatile player, I mean, yeah, maybe. But I have personally resigned for him going forth. So, you know, in the context, I just planted my flag on Suggs Island, but I have since moved. I'm now in search of I'm on a rescue boat in search of either Mobley Mob or Green Gang. But yeah, Jalen Suggs, I think, is an extremely well-rounded player who, to me, the IQ, the defense, everything, it points to him just being like a 15-year amazing point guard.
You know, I hadn't considered the Drew Holiday comp quite just yet. You know, I kept drawing parallels to just other, you know, elite floor generals I had considered. Kyle Lowry was the main kind of name that I kept coming back to. And then Jason Kidd, I did, you know, kind of throw that one out as well. Chris Paul was another one, just those elite floor generals who see the game, you know, at another level and who really can, you know, can steer and lead a team at a very elite level. I do think he's going to become a Toronto Raptor. He's going to be, and it's just so fitting that he's going to become a Toronto Raptor and like immediately like Kyle Lowry potentially like embarks and leaves this off season, you know, in pursuit of greener pastures and they just replace him right away. So throwing this up here for the YouTube viewers, the top four prospects and their overlapping responses, I guess, what do I want to call this? This is a chart, right?
The chart. Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to call it a graph and I was like, that's not right.
Yeah. It's kind of a little crazy to look at, to be honest. But I think it just holds true. And perhaps the biggest thing we could do is just give the audience a sense of who ranked highest on each thing. I mean, from a scoring standpoint, Jalen Green was highest. Passing, you have Cade Cunningham. Individual and team defense, you have Evan Mobley, followed by Jalen Suggs. And then, you know, Green had the highest offensive upside. Evan Mobley has the highest defensive upside. Jalen Suggs, best intangibles, and then Cade Cunningham, kind of the most future roster flexibility in terms of building a contender. So all of that seems to make sense. But I think the biggest thing is when you look at it this way, which again, not scientific, not quantitative, it kind of says that actually there's a case for all four guys. You don't necessarily see some of the crazy disparities or the clear cut aspects that, you know, Twitter discussions would have you to believe. And so I thought that was pretty interesting. Like once you force them to say, where would you rank? Actually there's, you know, real cases for why you would pick any of the given four guys at any spot. But, it was a fun exercise and thank you for the 272 people who took the time to fill it out.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us and coming to hang out and kind of talk about it. It was really great to be able to break this down and just kind of highlight some of these guys and, you know, get, again, provide a little better context for how Rockets Twitter, at least 272 of the Rockets Twitter members feel about, you know, these prospects. Cause you're right. Some of the divisiveness that we see on Rockets Twitter, when arguing for their guy versus one of the other guys, you'd think we're in the midst of a civil war when really we're not. We're in a great spot with the number two overall pick and being able to choose pretty much our pick of the litter when it comes to these guys, minus, you know, the potential number one overall pick in I can't say consensus yet, but more than likely number one overall pick in Cade Cunningham. But this has been a wonderful exercise. I've loved every minute of it. KP, always a pleasure to be able to talk Rockets Hoops with you.
Yeah, as always, thank you for having me on. Really enjoy this new format and being able to share some of the latest graphics, if you will. So it was fun and appreciate the opportunity.
Well, you know the drill, my man. Let everybody know where to track you down at.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at StanfordKP and also, you know, contribute to both Locked On Rockets, Clutch City Control Room, and of course the Apollo Media. So a number of places to follow us and just part of a great Houston sports Twitter community.
All right, KP. Well, as always, an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time to be here with us.
Thanks, Chad. Thanks, Jackson. Take care.
All right, that's going to do it for today's episode. But just a quick reminder, starting July 19th, the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 presented by Locked On and Odyssey is going to be featuring analysis from the GOAT of NBA mock drafts, Chad Ford. We'll also have Odyssey NBA experts Brian Scalabrine and former general manager Ryan McDonough. Our Locked On NBA local experts are going to be making selections all throughout the process and trades for your favorite team. I've already made my selections. So if you want to tune into that, be sure to check it out. It's going to be awesome. Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports, podcast, music, and news that matter to you. That's Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Now, for today's episode, that's going to do it. Thank you so much for watching, for listening. If you haven't subscribed yet to the brand new YouTube channel or Apple, Spotify, don't know why you haven't yet, hit the subscribe button. Would sincerely appreciate it. That's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you so much for watching and listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.